No, he was a true MVP. Over me? Twice? Oh, get out of here.
Practice? Not the game. You talking about practice?
Jonas Vassal Inuansas.
All right, welcome to the Big Ballers Podcast. I am your interim host, Josh Miller. In the spirit of trade week, we've decided to sit Toddy out on this one and see what we can get in exchange. I am joined, though, by Mick Buckets and LJ. How are you, lads?
Good, mate.
Good.
And Big Mo couldn't be with us tonight either. He's currently out scouting obscure European podcasters to see if he can add something to the team.
He's got the Viking beard covered, so I don't know what else.
He loves his unknown Europeans and stuff, so he thought he might be able to do something in the podcast world. So we've got him out there working his magic.
We'll see how much magic that is.
Mm.
We'll kick it off, I guess, with the big trade that started off the week. DeMarcus Cousins heading to the New Orleans Pelicans in exchange for a packet of chips and a washing machine.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how I sum that one up.
Yeah.
What do you think, LJ?
We've got at the moment. Let's just qualify this by saying everything that we say at the moment is way too soon to make a call. So you know, don't hold us to this in 6 months. But I don't think if they've decided $200 million is a lot of money for any organization, especially one that's not going anywhere. So for them, if they've decided we're not gonna give this guy $200 million, to flip it for a first rounder and Buddy Hield isn't the worst thing in the world, but you know, I think it's well undervalued. But the longer that they went, the worse the deals were going to be. But I mean, that they've only had one game. Tyreek and Buddy Hield had pretty good games today, and they knocked off the Nuggets. So who knows? Cauley Stein, who was never going to do too much, probably with Boogie there, has come out today and had like 29 and 10 or something. So
they might have uncovered something there. But he's not going to do that on a regular.
He's not. But I mean, look, Boogie is a great player. I love Boogie. But we're not saying that they're going to now anyway. But were the Kings ever going to do anything with Boogie there? I don't think so.
Oh, no. No, I mean, I think it works for both teams. I think both teams are happy with what they got, even though Sacramento shouldn't be. How you go from a guy that you're almost going to pay him $200 million to getting a washing machine, as Miller put it, for him is beyond me. But I guess that's them, and I think they got what they wanted. Obviously, Steph Curry like Buddy Hield. And New Orleans did well. I think they did really well, but I still think they're well off the mark of where they need to be to compete or even worry people.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw what they did today. You had AD and Cousins have a good game, and everybody else did what they probably should do. Like,
yeah,
to their skill level. So
Hield was Hield the fifth pick or something? I think
it was pretty high, yeah.
And you know, more than likely they got a lottery pick in a pretty deep draft, so it's not the worst thing. But yeah, I just think that New Orleans now don't. I mean, it's a good start. They've got a good core to build around, but they've got to attract some free agents because, like, you know, you've got Etuan Moore and Solomon Hill starting and nothing coming in off the bench.
Yeah, but you saw him today.
What do you think about it?
And you've got to pay DeMarcus anyway.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. For me, my biggest worry is as soon as I saw it, they're going to finish eighth. And I know they're one of the teams. I can just see what's going to happen. They're going to finish eighth. They're going to play the Warriors in the first round, and you know, you're essentially going to have not knock them out, but you're going to have a team that, you know, they're going to have the two best big men in the league on the one team against the team that, you know, that's their weak point.
Yeah, but it's not enough, man.
Yeah, I know it's not enough, but you know, you can steal a couple of games here and there like that, and.
Yeah,
I know. It's just I know it is a big call, but that's the first thing I thought. I thought, shit, here we go. You know, it's gonna be a chance of an upset here. But I know it all depends on how they gel. I mean, you know, today's a one off. You know, they lost to the Rockets. It's You know, next game they might come out and they win by 40. Who knows? I suppose it all depends on how those two gel. They work out their spacings on the floor because essentially, you know, they both can stretch the floor. You know, it's just a matter of working out who is going to stretch and who's going to post up and you know, and all that. So
well, it's pretty clear from today's game who's going to be doing what. Cousins was shooting the three balls, so I think that's where it's going to stay.
Wasn't shooting it well.
No, but he was taking them.
Yeah, that's right. But the crowd were loving him, so that's one good thing.
All six people.
Yeah, I know.
The crowd in Sacramento loved him as well, so.
Yeah, but, you know, they're excited about it, and, you know, there's some free agents coming out over the next couple of years that if they can add even, if they could put, you know, add a Paul George to the team or, you know, I think CP3's coming out, that's not really realistic. But if they could put a good point there, a solid point guard and one other star, you know, they could do something in the future. So they've got a good start to a rebuild, but I don't think they're anywhere near being a contender.
Don't rate Holiday?
I don't mind him, but he's never going to be that next level player. You know, he's like there with the Reggie Jackson, those kind of guys that they're good, don't get me wrong, and they can have great games, but they're not going to be a game changer. That, you know, no one's coming to play with New Orleans because Jrue Holiday's there.
Oh, no, no, no.
I don't know.
He's a serviceable piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think Boogie's going to find it interesting coming from, you know, Sacramento, who, you know, they have a reasonable fan base, you know, reasonable crowd, to go on playing in New Orleans. And, you know, the first game, you're going to have AD and Boogie on the same court, and they couldn't even, you know, half fill the arena.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's going to be a bit of a shock to him. But, you know, as I said, I think time will tell as to whether they're going to be able to they push would have, any teams.
New Orleans would have a bit of the Mardi Gras burnout, All-Star weekend burnout at the moment as well.
Well
though,
but even the All-Star numbers in comparison to previous years. Yeah, but as you said, it is Mardi Gras, so.
Yeah. I think one thing that got overlooked, and I spoke to you guys about this, being sort of, you know, enjoying the contracts and stuff, is that, you know, for one, they've given up, you know, they don't have a first-round pick now in next year's draft, which is going to be a deep draft. They've given up their first-round, you know, lottery pick from last year for Boogie, who at the end of next year can walk. And I could be wrong, but I don't think that New Orleans can offer him substantially more than another team can. So Boogie would have been, with Sacramento, eligible for that veterans, the designated veterans maximum, which would have seen him get about $209 million over 5 years. And now I think New Orleans can only offer him about $145 over 4 years. So, you know, that's a lot of money left on the table for Boogie. Just, you know, Boogie got traded,
everyone else
is not eligible for it.
But that's all everyone else can offer him. So that's just Sacramento just kind of killing him a little bit.
That's what I mean. So Boogie's lost out on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that, unless, you know, there's something I'm not aware of, which there very likely could be, there's no real incentive for Boogie to stay in New Orleans. So, you know, where there was an incentive for him to stay in Sacramento, he doesn't have that with New Orleans. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's only there for a year.
Yeah, well, that's a general consensus, isn't it?
More than likely. I mean, he could come back. If they can bring someone else in, you know, different story, but he's really got his pick of the bunch. It's just going to depend who's got cap at the time.
Yeah, true. Oh, well, should we maybe just head back the week earlier? We'll just go back in time. Serge Ibaka heading to the Toronto Raptors in exchange for Terrence Ross and a 2017 first-round pick from the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
Toronto have sort of low key, you know. I'll sort of jump forward a bit, combine this with today's move as well. You've got PJ Tucker heading to the Raptors in exchange for Sullinger and a 2017 second rounder and a 2018 second rounder. Toronto have low key sort of, you know, improved their roster for the now. Do you reckon this sort of pushes them up in the East a bit more to actually, you know, maybe challenge the Cavs at all?
I think it definitely does.
I think it pushes them up in the East, but I still don't think it makes them challenge the Cavs. I just don't, maybe challenge Wiz and Boston, but
no, I think
LeBron,
they can challenge
man.
The Cavs.
LeBron.
Yeah, I know, but
I mean, yeah, I don't know. But hey, I mean, as I'm sure we'll do our our draft, big ball or no ball, or later. But, you know, if we're talking winners of the draft, Toronto are pretty close. They got Valanciunas at the five spot, Lowry and DeRozan there, and Damari Carroll, and their real weak spot was the four. So Serge is going to slot straight in there. He's going to give him some spacing, and hopefully he goes back to playing some defense if they can get that out of him. Again, it's just a rental. I mean, I think they're probably pretty certain that they could re-sign him. I think their general managers liked him for a while. I think I could be wrong, but he tried to make a trade for him before he went to Orlando. So, you know, they've been interested in Serge for a while. But yeah, I think he definitely. I mean, that's a pretty solid starting five that they've got there now. So
yeah, I know the thing for me is like going into this season, you know, Jared Sullinger was meant to be their big sort of acquisition in that four spot, and I guess that injury that he had with his foot, yeah, like a sort of, it's just put him on ice pretty much. So I don't know. Hopefully, you know, I know the Suns, they have a number of big men as well, but I don't know. Maybe that'll sort of free him up, and he might get a bit more of a look in at the Suns now.
Well, I think
isn't it a contract year for him? Sure he's up out of contract.
We don't check
for the
that
year.
Kind of shit.
Yeah, we don't.
I reckon. No, I'm pretty sure he's out of contract. I'm saying it. He's out of contract at the end of the year. So this is this injury really has probably hurt his contract for next year.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that whoever was the assistant when Sully got drafted is the assistant at the Suns now.
Right.
So someone like Sully. There might be a little connection there. But I think as well, the thing that got missed a bit in this trade, on paper it doesn't seem like a big deal, but I think adding Terrence Ross for Orlando, it gives them a bit more balance than they had. The Serge thing didn't work and they probably weren't going to keep him. Bringing Terrence Ross in sort of allows them to push Aaron Gordon back to the four spot. It wasn't working for him as a three.
No.
They can put him back to his natural spot at the four. And Terrence Ross, first game there, he didn't shoot well, but he seemed to slot in, and I think it does balance them a bit better than what they were.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of balance as well, of course, we had Lou Williams going to Houston in exchange for Corey Brewer and a first-round pick.
While settling.
Yeah, and just I read something today. Houston now have five of the top 25 three-point shooters in the league in their team. So they're just you know, building a nice little you know, team of firepower there. Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, you got Lou Williams and Eric Gordon coming off the bench now. You know, does this make Houston a contender in the West now?
Oh, you think so? Because it adds to the thing that we're weak in, the three-point shooting. So
I don't know. I think we've got to be careful the way we use the word contender.
Okay.
Because they're not a chance to win it.
No, they're not.
No one is.
They've got closer to being a contender. To get to the conference finals, basically.
Yeah.
So our definition of contender is a team that can make it as far, you know, almost to the furthest point they can in that specific conference.
Yeah. So they could be in the, you know, they could knock off Spurs, but they're not going to knock off Golden State. Well, I mean, they could, but they're not Golden. The difference with a team like Houston and Golden State is their offense is very the same, but their defense is remarkably different. So you've got to be able to play D in those games. And, I mean, Houston's exciting to watch, but so were the Suns. So were the Suns when D'Antoni was there. And they still never got anywhere. I don't know. I'm not all in, but they're definitely going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think Lou Williams will definitely be a lot more suited in that team, I guess. You know, the way they spread the floor, the way you're going to have Harden. Yeah, the way you're going to have Harden distributing the ball as well.
And I mean, Lou Williams is the kind of guy, he can go play any team any day and he's going to put his numbers up. He's sort of no fuss, he does what he does, and he's going to bring that to any team that he goes to. And someone that can put up 30 points and doesn't care if he comes off the bench, you know, that's an asset as well. So that's been a good pick for them. And he fits better with their, you know, with the ages and stuff of the team. Houston aren't a team that really has much potential. Well, they got some potential in them with the guys that are there, but they don't have young guys. They're not building to anything. They're trying to do something now.
Yeah.
Whereas Lakers were trying to do something in the future, and he just didn't really fit in with that. So if they can, I think they flipped it for a first rounder.
First rounder.
So I mean, in this year's draft, even a late first rounder, you could very well end up with something not too bad. So it gives the Lakers a couple picks, and it was probably a pretty good move on their behalf as well, because when those guys become stars, you know, like Toddy said, unless Lou Williams turns into the next Crawf, he's not going to be part of their plans.
Yeah, and I think as well, Lakers fans are probably just happy that Magic didn't sell the farm.
One thing I thought was very cool is, and I can't remember who wrote it on Twitter, it wasn't us, it was someone smarter than us.
I'll claim it.
But it was us. They just wrote, like, right now, there's two offices, Magic sitting in one, Larry Bird sitting in the other one. They're trying to work out trade deals. Like, that was pretty cool.
And then you throw in Jordan.
That's a pretty cool thought. Yeah, no one's throwing in Jordan in that conversation. he's a better basketball player than them, but he's not in that conversation.
You think Magic is?
Nah, just some of those Twitters, those tweets that he sent out, man.
Oh, dude. Oh,
poor guy.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll give it a little bit longer before we completely start slagging off Magic.
Yeah, that's right.
Nah.
Yeah.
When has that stopped us before?
All right. One of the other trades that went down as well. You had we'll sort of just pick out the key ones here, because obviously, let's be honest, no one really gives a fuck about some of the other ones. This one sort of interested me. You got Ersan Ilyasova heading off to Atlanta in exchange for a Tiago Splitter, a 2017 second round pick via Miami, and a 2017 second round pick swap. Through Brooklyn. I don't know. Ilyasova, for me, he was doing well for Philly, but I suppose in a team that is rebuilding, you can sort of see they want to try and find the pieces they need. But I don't know. I feel like he was the glue, not the glue as such, but he was a nice addition to that offense and spread the floor well. So
yeah.
I don't know. It might be interesting to watch him in Atlanta and see what he can bring, I guess.
Yeah, I think he helps Atlanta. I don't think Philly care. I don't think he was ever sort of in their plan. Yeah. So. And they get those picks back. They get two picks. It's what they wanted. So, you know, get rid of him, get your picks. And, yeah, he'll do. I think he'll fit in pretty well in Atlanta.
It's what Dwight needs, man. So, you know, Dwight was most effective when... I mean, now, he's a vastly different Dwight, don't get me wrong. But he was most effective when he had, you know, Rashard Lewis out there.
Don't say Rashard. I knew you were going to fucking say Rashard Lewis.
He was hitting threes. He was hitting threes. He got a max contract for a reason.
That was
reason.
In Seattle. He was in Seattle hitting threes, and then he got a contract and did shit. Took a dump on court every time he fucking got out.
He had a good year in Orlando, and that's when Dwight was good. So, and Millsap's got an outside game, so it's not as big a deal. But with Dwight, if you want him to, you know, have any kind of impact in the games, you've got to spread the floor. So, you know, he's going to bring that to Philly. From Philly to Atlanta, from everywhere to Atlanta. He's been in. Is this his fifth team in the last 20 months?
He's doing the old Luke Ridnow tour.
But the good thing, I mean, except for maybe the Philly deal, you know, places have been. Nah, actually, I was going to say they've been happy to get him, but they're not. He's just been making up salary. I'm not even going to try and lie and make him feel good.
Yeah. At least they've been giving him minutes. That's the thing.
Atlanta wanted him. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Somebody's ended up.
So. Yeah, well, they Philly also didn't want Nerlens Noel. They moved him on to Dallas in exchange for Justin Anderson, Andrew Bogut, and a 2017 first-round pick, which is top 18 protected. You know, there is talk that the 76 will waive Andrew Bogut. What do you guys think about Nerlens? Noel heading off to the Mavs, Buckets?
Oh, I think it's good for the Mavs, great for the Mavs. What they needed in shot blocker, rebounder, he's going to, you know, help them greatly. I think it's kind of, I thought initially it was good for Philly getting the pick from Dallas, but then seeing as it was top 18 protected, I think it's kind of useless because their intention was to get a pick and they essentially probably will lose that pick, I'd say. And you get what, Justin Anderson, he's shit. He's not Nerlens Noel. I don't think you're getting value, and you're going to cut Bogut, so you've lost out on that trade.
Surely, surely there was a better deal going around.
You'd have to think. Yeah. I would have thought so.
Well, you would think there was something better.
You could have got Swaggy P.
Swaggy Peanut pick.
Yeah, that's better. But
that's better.
yeah, I don't know, man. I think, you know, we all know that Cubans wanted a centre. And I think Nerlens has the potential to be that rim protector and, you know, run to the front of the rim and throw some dunks down. I don't know how much his offensive game is still pretty raw, but defensively he's good. It'll take a bit of the pressure off Dirk while he still finishes out his last couple of years, I guess. Just let him do his thing. But I think as well for Philly, they've got all these guys that are going to be coming off their rookie contract soon, and they're going to have to, the restricted free agents, they're going to have to, you know, match some. Nerlens is still probably going to get close to a max from other teams. They've got to start making some decisions. You know, they can't sign everyone. So I think that's probably why they moved them on. And I think, I can't remember, but they would have had to have got some kind of trade exemptions because the contracts wouldn't have married up. So there's usually little financial things in the background that sort of make it seem a bit more sense. Most likely they're going to cut some cap and, probably end up with 2 second-round picks because I think that's what the protected picks usually transfer into if they don't get it. Because there's...
Unless, that's right then. I guess they...
It's going to be... I mean, Dallas aren't making the eighth. But they're not getting a first rounder. They're getting 2 second-rounders, but...
Yeah, but they're still they're still happy with picks. They're still happy with that.
But I don't think that'd be this year. But I haven't checked that at all, because that's not all we do.
That's what's happening.
Now, there was talk that...
I was going to ask. Are we surprised that they went trading Nerlens and not Okafor? Because I was kind of surprised.
Because they couldn't get anything for him. I don't think anyone wanted him.
Is that what you think it is? That they just didn't get they didn't think they could find the right deal for
the
him.
Bulls,
or?
They thought they had the Bulls, and then the Bulls shut down any trade that they thought they were going to get through him. I don't know. Maybe no doubt they would have been shopping both of them. You'd be stupid not to.
I just expected him to go. That was my thought was that if either of them were going to go, it was going to be him.
Yeah, I honestly thought when I saw, you know, something that we'll bring up after and maybe we'll use this as a segue into it, but when I saw that Campaign had gone to Chicago, my first thought was he's going to be shipped to Philly as part of for Okafor, because what do Bulls need with another point guard? And Philly do need one, and he's a young guy that could end up being alright.
TJ McConnell.
Maybe he ends up there. Yeah, oh no, they do, but he's
Thin. Yeah, we're just on that one then. The Bulls, they moved on Taj Gibson and Doug Mick Buckets, someone who actually gets buckets, McDermott.
whatever.
Along with the 2018 second-round pick to OKC in exchange for Cameron Payne, Joffrey Laverne, Anthony Morrow. So, yeah, as you said, you know, you've got a guard, or, you know, a guard power forward and a guard forward moving on to the Bulls. Doug McDermott to OKC, LJ. To me, that seems like a really good pickup to them.
Yeah. I don't want to get overexcited, but for one thing I'm happy about, it's two guys that I've been a fan of. So from that point of view, it's pretty good. I just think, you know, McBuckets is really a catch-and-shoot player, and if you have a look at some of the looks this year that we've got for Laverne, for Sabonis, for Roberson, for Morrow, who hasn't been knocking anything.
Yeah.
If we've got those shots for McDermott instead, I mean, it could be, he could do really well in that team. And we've got a young team, and he fits in with that. That's always good. But Taj Gibson's going to slot into the starting lineup. I'm a massive fan of Taj Gibson and have been. Him and Adams together as, you know, the front court's going to be a pretty bruising front court. Good defenders, fair bit of energy. So, I'm happy with it. But one thing that I think I said to you guys today that I found intriguing was that Oklahoma are the second worst three-point shooting team in the league. Chicago are the worst three-point shooting team in the league. And they just traded away their best three-point shooter to the second. So they're going to be just far, you know, the second worst 3-point shooting team in the league just got better and they just got worse. So they might be the worst 3-point shooting team in the history of basketball. They are going to be absolutely shocking.
Wow.
Absolutely shocking. But this was a, yeah, I won't get too much into the geek stuff of it, but it was actually two miniature trades, wasn't one trade. So we did one trade, Taj Gibson for Joffrey, Campaign, and Morrow, and the pick, I think. And then the second trade was just us absorbing Doug McDermott's salary into our trade exemption. So
if we didn't
do that, we would have lost our trade exemption.
Yeah.
Because we would have had to have waived that to take him on. So by doing it as two separate trades, we get to keep the balance of our trade exemption so that we can use before 1st of November, which is a year from when we got it with Jeremy Grant.
And this is basketball economics with LJ.
Yeah. But no, it was good, man. Like, it's not a massive game changer, but it addressed the needs. And
I think it is a game changer for you guys.
Yeah, I think...
helps that team. It helps you a lot.
Yeah, helps them push. I mean, they're only three and a half games or something out of that fourth spot, so...
Yeah. And you really don't lose much because you add Gibson. You're losing Laverne's, you know, he's young, he is good. Like, he was a good prospect.
I think the
prospect,
problem with Laverne
but you still got you know, Sabonis and Adams and that on the bench. Kanter when he comes back.
Oh, dude,
upgrade Morrow's position and Campaign's no real loss either. I don't think.
Yeah. So I think if you start McBuckets, which I wouldn't be surprised if in a little while they do, because he just spreads the floor and. You can't pack the paint.
And he runs lanes as well.
Yeah, it'll help Russ. But if you do that, you get Sabonis on the bench where he should be. So you got... And Oladipo where, you know, when they traded for Depot, his intention was always to come off the bench. So if you swing him to the bench, losing Cameron Payne doesn't become as big a deal because you just have a three-guard rotation, you know, with him and Russ, with Christensen, who did fine in his limited minutes when Campaign was injured. So, you know, you got Depot, Sabonis, Kanter, and Jeremy Grant as your sort of second unit, and that's not too shabby.
Yeah. You got to think it adds to Westbrook's assist numbers as well. You don't have all those missed shots that, you know, Morrow was putting up. You think Buckets would hit those?
As long as Taj gets in line and just realises all he does is box out now, the rebounds are Russ's.
So do you reckon Ennis is going to, you know, obviously he's injured at the moment, so Taj and Stephen Adams...
I think he might be back tomorrow.
It's been 6 weeks already.
There was talk that he could be back as early as tomorrow.
Yeah,
so.
Well, CP3's coming back, isn't he?
Now, I don't know that he will be back tomorrow, but they said he could be
back. So we've gone from reports of 6 to 8 weeks to 2 weeks.
Mm. Well, yeah, from what I read,
this motherfucker's a Wolverine.
He's wrapped it up. He's got it in some kind of cast that he can play in, apparently. So he's wrapped it up. He's been training. He's going to have a shoot around. He's not sure. He uses both, so it doesn't really matter. But I don't think it would be his offhand, because you wouldn't have punched with your offhand, because you'd look like a girl. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, you don't know. But he might have been setting the chair up for a left-right combo, so he might have been setting up with the one and with the two, so you don't know.
And Miller's punched the netball post, so we know.
Yeah. But no, from what I heard, he's going to be game time tomorrow, shoot around. They're going to make a decision.
There's no way he's back. If he fractured his fucking forearm, there's no way he's back.
We'll see.
That's just forearm, right?
But no, I think what we're getting at, I don't think it messes with Kanter's minutes. I think it's Sabonis's minutes are going to drop. Sabonis had a good start since December. He's been pretty bad. So I think Sabonis gets to go back into no pressure. And develop.
Yeah, it'd be good. Less workload on him. I think it'll be good.
Yeah. So, should be good. And, yeah, from Taj, the thing that I've always liked about him is just he's a hard-nosed player. And, yeah, the first thing he sort of said about going to Oklahoma is, all I can tell the Oklahoma fans is they're going to get 100% of me every night that I'm on the floor. So, you know, that's all you can ask for.
Oh, that's fair enough then. Oh, just quickly, got a few more of the low-key trades coming in. Roy Hibbert, he's been moved on again. Didn't last long in Milwaukee. He's gone to Denver now. So that was in exchange.
It's like, just like trading a bag of potatoes. That's all you've done.
And yeah, just to add to this, they were going to trade for Festus Ezeli, who may never play again. And he was, so someone that may never play again was just slightly edged out by Roy Hibbert. So that's how do you go from what he was to what he is now?
Well, that's the reason I was bringing up the trade. I was going to bring up the trade and then just slide into that conversation. But Bucket's got too impatient, had to come in with fire straight away and just shut it down. So
you know, I hate Hibbert. There's certain things that just fire me up. Rashad Lewis, Hibbert, it's just straight into it.
We got there in the end, Miller, and that's what matters.
It's a process. You got to trust the process.
And on that note, lads, I reckon we'll wrap it up. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the Big Balls podcast. It's not the worst thing you listen to, and it's free on iTunes and Stitcher. Also, find us on the FNX network at fnx.network. Check them out for everything that's going on. Sports, pop culture, music, gaming. They're the place to go. Follow us on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Big Ballers Podcast. We try and keep you up to date as often as we can with everything that is going on around the league through videos, photos, news. It's all good fun. So until next time, myself, LJ, and Buckets, we out.